Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Molloy program tonight. Thanks for joining us. Did you watch any of the hearing today? It was pretty astonishing stuff. I watched on CNN.com these disgusting, filthy television networks and cable channels and all this other crap that we have in this country. Nobody found it necessary to telecast or broadcast this hearing with these criminals, and they are criminals, from Goldman Sachs. What a collection of bastards. I've never, and I'm not going to take that route of, oh, well, the members of Congress are just as guilty. Yeah, okay, of course they are, because they're the ones who signed off on the legislation that allowed this to happen back during the Clinton years. But these swine sitting there at the witness table, what a bunch of scum. This is the best and the brightest. These are the masters of the universe. These are the people that go to the best schools in America. They get their degrees, and then they get out there and figure out ways to just rip and screw the American public and anyone else that gets in their way. Doesn't that make you proud to be an American today when you watch that stuff, huh? Didn't you sit there, and I know this is what happened to me. I just sat there and went, wow, man, God bless America, and God bless those four guys sitting there. And then those two guys, they are the best and the brightest. They're what we give to the world. Yes, hell yes. Made me sick to my stomach watching these pigs. Okay, I can't say the word that Carl Levin said, according to my producer here. But I'll change the word to shicky. Shicky. S-H-I-K-I. Shicky. Is that allowed? Timberwolf was one shicky deal. That was the, that was a memo that the Senate investigators got and gave to Carl Levin. And Carl Levin kept saying shicky over and over. I think he said it about 11 times. It was great to see. It was great to see the zombies, these dead bastards sitting at that witness table. Of course, they're not dead when they're out blowing hundreds of millions of dollars on, 11-bedroom apartments in Midtown Manhattan, or are buying huge luxury liner cruisers, or taking their million-dollar-a-day vacations. Then they don't sit there without saying a word. What a bunch of swine. I swear to God, in a different country, a different time, when their testimony was over, they would have been taken out and shot. You know that. I know that. Brilliantly profane exchange in the Goldman Sachs hearing. Blogging on this was David Dayan. Carl Levin confronted Goldman Sachs trader Daniel Sparks with an email about Timberwolf, one of their deals using mortgage-backed securities. Do you like these names? This is the same way the Enron, they use these really manly names, Timberwolf. Ugh. Tom Montag, the head of the division at the time, sent an email to Sparks that said, that Timberwolf was one shicky deal. Days later, Levin showed, emails talked about selling Timberwolf, the shicky deal, as a top priority. In fact, Goldman sold hundreds of millions of dollars on the deal to investors after everybody in the company were talking about that shicky deal. Huh? Boy, we really pumped it to him on that one, didn't we? Huh? In a made-for-John Stewart moment, Carl Levin asked again and again about the shicky deal, and Sparks tried to dodge, but the conclusion was clear. Goldman Sachs knew Timberwolf was bad, and yet not only marketed it to investors, but marketed it as a top priority. Susan Collins, following up, could not get a straight answer from Sparks over whether he thought Goldman Sachs had a duty to act in the best interests of their clients, yada, yada, yada. Goldman Sachs, Senator Collins, does not act in the best interest of its clients. These predatory bankers never do. They're not capitalism. Oh, Senator Collins. Capitalism is not a system designed to develop a merchant class, to develop a middle class, to share wealth. That's not the function of capitalism. The function of capitalism is to provide just untold riches to the 2 or 3%, if it's that high, at the very top of this pile of seething humanity. The 2 or 3% that owns everything, that dictates policy, that turns people into slaves, that exploits natural resources, that destroys the environment. That's capitalism. Please, Senator Collins, it's not about helping people climb out of poverty. If that has occurred in the bloody, disgusting history of capitalism, it has occurred as a byproduct, an unintended consequence of capitalism. Capitalism is there to exploit, steal, take, lie, cheat, do anything it can, to take everything it can. And the perfect form of capitalism existed in this country from 100 years before this country was actually founded up until 1862. Or was it 1861? Don in Baltimore sent me an email today. Mike, the grilling of these banksters makes for great TV, even if it is all about politics and political showmanship. It's an election year again. It's been like 19 months since the economic crisis meltdown. It's about time that the public sees the faces of the crooks that crashed the economy on television. Watching Senator Levin use the word shicky is amazing. The Republicans are obstructing the reform of Wall Street the same as they fought to stop Obama's efforts to reform the health insurance industry. The Republicans are soliciting protection money from the same banksters and hedge fund managers and Wall Street high rollers who use Wall Street as a casino to rip the American people off to the tune of trillions. They deliberately crashed not only the American economy, but the world's economy as well. And all the time, while they ran their banks into insolvency, they were constantly skimming the profits like the mobsters skimmed the Vegas casinos in the old days. Washington and Wall Street are one big mafia-styled organization. The banksters and crooks are paying off Republicans and many Democrats like the mobsters paid off the cops and judges and officials in the old days. It's the old protection racket, kind of where the bad guys pay the cops and officials to look the other way. They have been doing that in Washington for decades. I've read so much for a long time now about how the Bush government let the fat cats of Wall Street run the whole country like it was their private casino. And when they bankrupted it, we bailed them out. Well, they laughed all the way to the bank. Today, it would have been great TV drama if they grilled the crooks on C-SPAN, like in the old days when the crooks would keep saying, "I refuse to answer," on the grounds of taking the fifth over and over. Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy in the 50s during Senate hearings took on the mobsters like Hoffa and Carlos Marcello, grilling them before the public. In the end, Marcello, Santo Trafficante, and Johnny Roselli and Jimmy Hoffa would turn it all into a Greek tragedy by assassinating both Kennedy brothers. It would have been nice to see the crooks of Goldman Sachs pleading the fifth over and over today. Gangsters, mobsters, and Wall Street investment bankers. They're all the same. Don in Baltimore. It is about 22 past the hour. All right, we're going to open up the lines. You're open now. I want to hear what you think about the hearing today. The number is 877-996-2556. If you watched any or all of it, what you could, it was blacked out of all media, as far as I know. CNN and MSNBC kept teasing into it like they were really going to show something, but then they had to let their anchor people do the talking, which just, you know, I really don't like that, but of course there's nothing I can do about it. So if you watched any of it, I'd like to know what your take is. We really had a chance today. It was like watching the tobacco executives when those predatory bastards sat there and said, no, we never manipulate nicotine. And besides, why should we? Nicotine is not addictive. You know, same thing. These are the real criminals in this country. These are the people who are destroying America. These people and their Republican and Democratic cohorts, mostly Republican, in the Congress. It's astonishing. And I didn't happen to see any or hear any reports of any teabagger demonstrations out in the hallways or on the steps of the Capitol building, the way the bastards were demonstrating and spitting on black members of Congress during the final hours of the so-called health care reform debate or health insurance reform debate. Where were you punk-ass teabaggers, huh? Why weren't you out there protesting? These are people who have stolen from you. These are the people you should be angry at, you phony teabag freaks. These are the people who thoroughly enjoy the fact that you've put together something called a teabag movement, because it further clouds up the atmosphere and gives them further cover on how to continue to steal and steal and steal. I'm much more prone to violence than Carl Levin or any of these people that conducted the hearing today. Knowing what we know at this point, and knowing that these bastards are going to walk, the SEC charges against them are civil charges. They're not even criminal charges. How many people were driven into the streets, driven into bankruptcy, driven into despair? How many families were ripped to pieces by these thugs? Now, we asked the same questions back during the savings and loan collapse. And, you know, in the 80s, and I thought, stupid me, hey, this will never happen again. Because seeing this tremendous cloud of despair and savings for old people, middle-aged people, young parents who are saving for their children's education, everything stolen, destroyed, ripped to pieces by these damn thuggish capitalist thug banksters, right? And here it is again. Only this time, this makes as bad as the savings and loan debacle was, this latest theft, fraud, makes the savings and loan debacle look like what it was, a rehearsal. Let's see if we can get away with this. Let's see if anybody goes to jail. Okay, one or two. But let's see if we can pull this off. And if we can, we'll wait a decade or two and really stick it into these donkeys. Here we are. Rat bastards. Boy, I'll tell you. Lloyd Blankfein was on later on this evening. I didn't get a chance to see any of that. But you talk about the head rat. You know, just because this useless piece of human waste makes millions of dollars a day, he doesn't make it. He steals millions of dollars a day. You know, somehow he's in that rarefied atmosphere. He's one of the masters of the universe that Tom Wolfe wrote about back in the 80s. And he's nothing but a scummy, rat-infested, cockroach-head thief. And he steals, he deliberately steals from people. Of course, he steals from greedy people. Not just greedy people. He steals from people who want to invest. This should teach a lesson to people about investing with these so-called investment banks. If they don't learn this time, to hell with them. Let them continue to be ripped and torn to pieces. The problem with that is that so many of the people ripped and torn to pieces had nothing to say about this. Their investment portfolios, their retirement funds, whatever, were being managed by portfolio managers who got involved in this because of their greed. So here we are. Tom says the complete hearing was on CNBC and Bloomberg. Okay. Two networks that I very seldom go to. Well, I'm glad to hear that. CNBC. I wonder how many people were able to get CNBC, right? We'll be back. Stay with us.
Life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. Here's Mike Malone.
It's 25 before the hour. Reg writes, and the whole thing was nauseating and predictable. I watched in C-SPAN 3. It went on all day, and I survived only by switching regularly to the doubleheader Mets game that started late afternoon. Each one of these bastards was coached and well-prepared to answer every question. Nothing was accomplished. The thing that got to me was that the senators on the panel consistently thanked these crooks for appearing. Despite the occasional scolding, they were treated as gracious guests who were kind enough to respond to an invitation from the Senate committee. Puke. Waste of a day. Irish Dave. Mike, some are calling it the dog and pony show. So who's the dog and who's the pony? Following here is a list of all the good things that will result. Crickets. Irish Dave. P.S. One is attempted to use the word arrogance. That would be wrong, since arrogance is defined as, quote, the act or quality of having unwarranted pride and self-importance or haughtiness. Yes, they're going to get away with it. And Jen adds, oh, this is about the Arizona law. We'll get this a little bit later, Jen. Oh, well, we get to it a little bit later. All right. Who we have here? Steve is in Austin, Texas, listening on XM. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Just listening to the last comments you were making about emails. Preliminary, I think perhaps we're seeing just the late spring buds of cojones. there were seeds of watching the Watergate hearings back in the 70s. Which I made it a point, even though I was, you know, young and dumb. But they were very interesting. The mere fact that they shined a lot of light on this Blankfein guy and his, his minions, was good. That's a start. It's a good start, but it's just a start. And I suggest that perhaps as we move through the summer months towards the election, we might just a few more investigations instigated, maybe some indictments, maybe some civil suits, whatever. But I would totally echo everything you said. These people are rat bastard scum. And,
oh, it's awful. These are the ones who have destroyed the country. And isn't it interesting that the right wing in this country, that is the Republicans, the teabaggers, tried to make it appear as though they made at least a feeble attempt that the organization or people really responsible for the collapse of the global economy were Acorn.
Acorn. Always back to Acorn and minorities. Yeah, that goes right into Arizona.
Right.
Everything
God.
In Arizona's problem is, people of color. Come on, just say it.
Yeah.
People of color.
Right.
And the president is a person of color.
So he must be there by some nefarious method, and he needs to go. Right. I hear
you. Even if he flies in on Air Force One, he better have his passport ready if he goes to Arizona. It's just... And the backlash, the economic backlash alone, starting out not only from nationwide but worldwide, is coming to bear. If you saw any reports earlier, many Latin American countries, Mexico, the state of Sonora to their immediate south is saying, "Don't go there. Don't go there." Oh my God, Arizona has become a terrorist state. Don't go there.
Well, it is.
They're on the watch list.
And you know what'll really be funny? And thanks, Steve. What'll really be funny is what you said about President Obama flying into Arizona. If he ever did, he could immediately be arrested, couldn't he? Oh, no, I guess the President of the United States can't be arrested. But think about the idea of the President of the United States being arrested because he didn't have his papers with him. According to these thugs, Obama is an illegal immigrant. But, of course, you can't arrest the President, right? Sorry, you scum suckers, but you can't do it. Chuck is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right, as soon as I clear my throat.
I know what you mean.
I find it real interesting. First of all, I don't think anybody should be surprised that the Aries didn't go any better than they did. I mean, it's no big surprise that the guys who are asking the questions and who are supposed to be getting tip on these guys are the same guys who take money from these same people for their campaigns, you know? So,
right.
When you compromise yourself like that, you've only got so much stump to stand on. But I find it real interesting that this whole Arizona thing is going on at exactly the same time when you've got the evils of capitalism laid bare, so to speak, so widely for the world to see in Washington. It's not being covered by any of the networks to speak of. Mm. You're getting a lot of coverage of the Arizona situation. You've got a oil spill in the Gulf that's about to wreck the economy of the fourth most populous state in the Union and their tourist industry, being Florida, with the shipping industry about to start up here next month.
Yeah.
You've got all these things going on, and at the same time, you've got this Arizona thing going on. Don't you find the timing to be rather impeccable?
Yeah, I do. It's almost as though there was some beastmaster in the background orchestrating everything.
You know, they just said today that if they can't cap this oil well, that it's going to end up being one of the most profound oil spills in U.S. history.
Yeah.
You know what that's going to do to Florida? I mean, it's going to absolutely destroy Florida economy.
Oh, Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, possibly Mississippi.
Yeah.
I mean, this
they'll all be destroyed, but Florida's, their economy is solely, 50% tourism, okay? And it's a world-class resort.
Right.
You know? And people go there for two things, Disney World and the beaches.
And our Democratic president just signed off on the idea of more oil wells in the Gulf de Mexico. So,
well,
I don't know.
I've got a lot of negative things to say about Obama, but I don't really blame him for that. I don't think it was a half-hearted measure for political reasons more than anything else. But,
well, I hope so. But symbolism accounts for an awful lot in this country. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, it does. It does. You know, the fact that the Federal Reserve has not been audited, and the fact that Geithner and Summers and the rest of them are still running the show, just makes me believe that Obama isn't even on our side to start with. He's either an opportunist who's enjoying the presidency while he's got it, or he's actually possibly even a plant by the Republicans.
Or he might be, like I chose to believe for the longest time, he might be playing Mahjong while the rest of us are playing dominoes, you know. So let's hope it's something like that. Chuck, thanks for checking in, pal. Appreciate your call. I keep going back to what McClatchy newspapers wrote yesterday, Greg Gordon and Chris Adams, about the probe that's going on right now in the Senate. And yeah, it is uncomfortable to see these senators sitting there trying to get all testy and tough and hard-ass with these people. If they were so testy and tough and hard-ass, why accept a dime in campaign funds? The first or second largest recipient of campaign assistance money, that is, was candidate and senator, now President Barack Obama. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Does it mean, A, the entire system is that corrupted? B, politicians who take money from these thugs and then don't carry water for them are using them? Or C, the entire system is corrupted? It's a pretty narrow list, isn't it? It's probably A and C, the entire system is corrupted. But this is what, this is what capitalism does. This is what it always does. This is what it's designed to do. This is its reason for existing. To corrupt, to steal, lie, cheat, turn everything into poison, everything into illusion, everything into deceit and madness, until finally the entire system collapses and the predators move on to something else. It just pisses me off so badly. I too bad Mike Malloy can't be king of America for a day. Oh, the streets would run red. Oh, because I'd be painting the concrete. Oh, my God. All right, more phone calls here in a moment. We're just about to go to a break. This is from Turkman. Mike, I've been waiting for these Wall Street crooks to face the public for their countless crimes. Like mobsters and common criminals, of course, they will say, I did nothing wrong. They all say that. I keep reading stories like one today saying, well, Senator Levin didn't accuse them of anything illegal. I've been reading hundreds of stories since the 2008 meltdown on this economic crisis, even though I'm only a common security guard. Yeah, well, I'm a common talk show host. I hear you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Barrett in Atlanta has a Harriet Tubman analogy regarding the teabaggers. Mike, you asked why teabaggers were not protesting Goldman Sachs executives at the hearing today. Yeah, they were screwed like all of us. Harriet Tubman, who helped free over 500 slaves via the Underground Railroad, was once asked, why did you only free 500 slaves? Her response, I could not convince the remaining ones that they were slaves. Is that true? Is that a real Harriet Tubman quote? Seems like I've heard that someplace. Barrett in Atlanta. Yeah, once you develop the slave mentality, like teabaggers have, teabaggers think that they are free, white, and providing resistance to a socialist takeover of this country. Isn't that funny? It is funny. It is incredibly funny. Okay, back to your calls. Robert is in San Francisco listening to Green 960. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Mike. I got to say, I love your opening Pink Floyd piece. Those bells and horns do it for me.
Yeah.
They really do. Well, you know, Bobby McFerrin said, don't worry, be happy. And there's a lot of great things happening. We've got the New Living Expo in San Francisco. PhD has discovered many different remedies for our toxicological problems. A lot of great things, green herbicides, pesticides, insecticides, medicines, and toxicological weapons of mass destruction remediation technology. But I wanted to talk about the corporate thing you mentioned, the cigarettes, the other day, and you mentioned it again today. The reason we couldn't get at those guys, Congress couldn't get at them, is because of their rights as corporate people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on with the financial thing as well. If you look at where all this happened on Wall Street, you'll find that the Wall Street's heavily infested with CIA people. And as the 9/11 truth movement has investigated more closely what happened on 9/11, you'll see CIA Director Woolsey running the cover-up. He was the head of anti-terrorism for the fire department and the police. So when these regulators are being conned by the big Goldman Sachs and all these people to turn a blind eye to regulations, ask yourself another question. Are they connected with the CIA? Because I think a lot of this stuff is directed right out of a big old plan. And it has to do with people that aren't elected that are projecting American policy, financial policy, military policy, kinds of stuff.
And, well, yeah, you'll get no argument from me about that. I certainly accept that as fact.
Well, I mean, look who the first CIA director was. I believe he was a Wall Street lawyer. Wasn't that Clark Clifford?
Was he the first CIA director?
I'm not sure, but I believe it was. But in any case, there are solutions, and we just have to hang tight and really promote them. I just got an email from Barbara Streisand today. She's promoting this, what do they call it? It's a referendum, number 15, to get money out of politics in California, like mm-hmm. they did in Arizona places. And that's, I think, the key to all of this, is to get politicians that aren't beholden to big money. And once we get there, we can go the other step and get rid of corporate personhood. And I mean, it's all about waking up, and we have the technology. Revolution proceeds out of technological innovation. The Gutenberg press, people could read printed word. The internet's happened. Video file sharing. This is why news and media is dropping off, and people are going to the internet, because why believe this cockamamie story about 9/11? Buildings collapsing when you can actually see and hear videos of bombs going off in New York City.
Yeah, well, listen, you're covering an awful lot of territory, Robert. I appreciate what you had to say, but I'm starting to get dizzy just trying to stay up with you. You're all over the map there, but I hear you. I hear what you're saying, and it all makes sense. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it. Greg is in Richmond, Virginia, listening on Sirius. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Mike. I'm a new Sirius subscriber, and I was just floating around there and heard you listening a little bit of what you were saying. I kind of feel guilty now about actually joining Sirius and spending my money on the subscription and everything. It's all capitalism, you know what I'm saying? I was thinking that you were saying about capitalism. I was just, you hit on so many things, and but one of the things I heard you talk about was capitalism, and I was wondering, and you said you detested, basically.
Yeah.
But you work for a company that needs to make a profit in order for you to keep your job.
No, you don't know. Hold on a minute, Greg. You don't know anything about me. What company do you think I work for?
I guess you work for a company that needs to make money in order to be on air.
No, Greg. You ought to put your brain in gear, pal, before you open your mouth, because if you don't, you come across like a damn fool. I'm self-employed. I have a studio in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. Sirius comes to me for the program. I don't go to Sirius. So I'll tell you what, go away, okay? You don't make any sense. I don't like people like you. And you got on my program under false pretenses when you talked to our producer, so scram. Go do whatever else you were doing. Go listen to Limbaugh. You know, the guy's going to call me. It doesn't know me from Adam's house, guys. He only heard me once. He's, I just happened to tune in. Okay, you just happen to tune in, then shut your damn mouth until you know what you're talking about. But I realize right-wingers don't do that. What? Huh? Oh, these? Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you need to shut up and try to learn something. Of course, that's not what what conservatives do. That's not what Republicans do. You people are such know-it-alls. You know everything, don't you? Huh? You know everything, don't you? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. We're talking a little bit about the hearing today, the arrogance of these 4, 5, 6, 7 current and former executives at Goldman Sachs who sat there and just gave the American public and all the people who suffered because of their criminal behavior the middle finger. Just told them all politely to, go to hell. And, of course, they're being questioned by senators who have their own cowardice and chicanery and challenges of an ethical nature to deal with. The whole thing stinks. But looking at the two sides, the senators and the executives from Goldman Sachs, I think in a stink contest, the executives at Goldman Sachs won hands down. August 2009, there was an article in the New York Post that somebody sent me about Lloyd Blankfein's wife, you know, the CEO of Goldman Sachs. He testified late this afternoon. And I mentioned on the air that night, or I put it in the stack, never got to it. Well, Flora Photo just sent it to me. And this is from New York Post, August 5th, 2009. Let me just quote it to you. Goldman Sachs boss Lloyd Blankfein has warned his employees to avoid high-profile spending, but his wife evidently didn't get the memo. Laura Blankfein and her BFF, Susan Friedman, wife of another Goldman honcho, Richard Friedman, caused a huge scene at Super Saturday in the Hamptons last weekend, when they arrived at the event before the noon start time and balked at waiting in line with the other ticket holders. Said one witness, their behavior was obnoxious. They were screaming. Blankfein said she wouldn't wait with people who spend less money than me. Another observer said the women were so impatient. It was as if they were waiting on line for a kidney transplant instead of a charitable designer clothing sale. Friedman shouted, this is her BFF, Susan Friedman, shouted at the event organizer, quote, "You have lost so much money because of this. Why should we be treated like the $650 donors?" End quote. Sources said Blankfein and Friedman had bought tables with blocks of tickets going for $833 apiece, as did many of the women who were waiting patiently in line, happy to raise $3.4 million for the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. In the end, the hot-headed duo got in at 12:03 p.m., 3 minutes after those who arrived before them. No word on how much of their husband's money they spent, but Lloyd Blankfein, wary of bad publicity over the big bonuses he and his colleagues expect to collect at year's end, Lloyd has called for an end to conspicuous consumption. A Goldman Sachs executive was quoted in yesterday's front page Post story, quote, Blankfein wants to make sure we're not being seen living high on the hog, end quote. But this bitchy woman, you know, isn't this, you know, here's a woman who doesn't work. Her husband is her pimp. And all Laura has to do, Laura Blankfein and Susan Friedman, who doesn't work, her husband is her pimp. All they have to, no offense to sex work, well, I don't like pimps, but all they have to do is go out and spend millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they get very pissed off if they have to wait in line. Well, we shouldn't wait in line. Isn't that nice? Laura Blankfein. Now, this story is it's 10 months old. That's probably what I did with it last time. God, I hate these people. Terry in Cincinnati writes, Mike, you will hear nothing from the teabaggers on the Goldman Sachs hearings because the teabaggers worship at the altar of free market capitalism to the point where they have offered the economy, the consumer, and the well-being not only of America but the world as a burnt offering on the altar of capitalism. They claim to be the guardians of the Constitution. If so, why aren't they protesting in the streets over the violations of the Fourth Amendment and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment in the Arizona law? Terry, Cincinnati. Terry, it's because every teabagger on earth is a dumb bastard of the highest order, a complete freak who would not... who would not understand the Constitution if somebody wiped their butts with it. They are completely weird, not to mention the fact that they, you know, they're not interested in the Constitution. They're all a bunch of liars and idiots, freaks, stupid people who follow Glenn Beck. You know, any group of people or person other than his wife or children who follows Glenn Beck, do you have to have any further information about the condition of their brains, their mental capabilities, their intelligence? No, I don't think so. Ray is in Oakdale, Minnesota, listening to KTNF. Hey, Ray.
Brother Michael, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
Yes, and I hope you're doing well. I live in a suburb that's a little distance from our transmitter, and it's pretty hard to hear you given FCC rules or whatever's going on. But
you can always listen online.
Well, I don't have access right now.
Oh, okay.
But and this may sound contradictory. I don't have personally access, but we do have our website, and I just wanted to let you know that it's back up. And I rather wish people would check it out because we are trying to do stuff.
Yeah, now what is it again?
You ready?
Yeah.
Kalpulli, K-A-L-P-U-L-L-I .net.
Right.
And we have editorials, and I kind of wish people would respond. The question before us, Michael, is there any muscle tone left in the American body politic?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, because I, you know, among other things, I called for the removal of Rahm Emanuel. I am challenging Barack Obama to engage us fully and talk with us about, about going back on the offensive. And we've got to get rid of Mitch McConnell. We absolutely must get rid of Mitch McConnell.
Well, that's going to be pretty hard since you live in Minnesota.
I know, but I'm calling on the good people of Kentucky to start a recall movement.
Yeah.
You know, there is that right within American laws. Start a recall movement.
That's very true.
And Michael, I hope you're doing well, because on one of your broadcasts I heard something about a heart murmur and I couldn't make out everything that was being said.
Well, not a heart murmur, a murmur. Kathy is having a procedure on Thursday to get rid of, it's called an ablation, to get rid of an extra nerve in her heart.
Well, that mighty woman is in our prayers.
Well, good. Thank you very much. All right, Ray, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Calpooley.com? Is it com or org or net? Well, you can figure it out fairly quickly. Jeff is in Louisville, Kentucky, listening on XM. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Starting with Ronald Reagan up to now, every president in the Treasury Department has been infected by Wall Street executives. It has been. Mm. I mean, Reuben for Clinton was the former chairman of the board.
Right.
Donald Reagan for Reagan. Same thing. President Obama is undersecretary for the Department of Treasury for enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Was a major Wall Street executive for Goldman Sachs. It's like having the fox guard the hen house.
What does that tell you?
What makes you? What's that?
What does that tell you?
It just tells you the reason why things have fallen apart over the last 30 years is we let Wall Street set their own or get rid of regulations. Rubin's the one that talked Clinton into getting rid of all regulations on derivatives. And
that's true.
Happened.
Hey, hold on a second, Jeff. I got to do some commercials and we'll come back. All right? Let you tell us some more. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. We're talking with Jeff in Louisville, Kentucky, listening to XM. All right, where were we?
I wanted to continue on here.
Go ahead.
When Ronald Reagan became president, the top six banks controlled 10% of the financial market in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2008, the top six banks in this country control 66% of the market. Goldman Sachs sat down there today and pretty much told those senators, we still got the gun to your head, and we're going to do things our way.
Right.
And that's where we're at. Now, even though I don't like Mitt Romney, what he said made sense when he said, you know what, cascading bank failures are not in our interest. They simply got it set up. They've had the regulatory arm of our government for the last 30 years, these Wall Street executives, no matter what administration it be, whether Democrat or Republican, and they've set the laws, they've lined their pockets, and they got it set up for where they got a gun to our head that we cannot control them. That's what they've done. I mean, case in point, President Obama's Undersecretary of the Treasury for Code Enforcement on Wall Street is a former executive from Goldman Sachs. Hello, is anybody home?
Well,
nothing will change. Nothing
right.
will change.
Right. Right.
They got a gun to our head, Mike. They do.
Well, you know, there have been people within our society. We usually murder them. But there have been people in our society who have had solutions. Malcolm X did. Really, don't freak. Martin Luther King did. Possibly Bobby Kennedy, although I don't think so. Malcolm X had a quote one time, and he had lots of them, but This one, somebody sent it tonight, and I think I've lost it here. Whoever sent me that article about the last guy convicted, hey, thanks, Jeff. The last guy convicted in the murder of Malcolm X was released, or is being released from prison. That assassination going all the way back to 1965. I wonder when they're going to release Sirhan Sirhan. But if somebody remembers what that quote is about capitalism and bloodsuckers, it was. Damn it, I just had it here a few minutes ago, too. Oh, well. I get a lot of hate emails now because I've just decided to stop dancing around the issue. I guess I decided about 6-7 months ago to stop dancing around the issue of predatory capitalism, which is all capitalism, and how vile it has become, and how it literally is destroying not just the United States. I mean, it's destroying everything. And not just American capitalism, although it and Chinese capitalism is the worst, obviously, because both are hybrids of a capitalist, fascist kind of operating system. But the only way to end this, the only way to stop the destruction of the society, of any society, but let's focus on ours. The only way is to get rid of the system that's doing it. Why is this so difficult? I'm not talking about tanks rolling through the streets. You know, I offered up something months ago and jocularly referred to it as Malloy's socialism. Nationalize banking, energy, healthcare, transportation, and weapons production. And then leave small businesses and family-owned farms and high-tech firms and all sorts of startup businesses alone, as long as labor laws and environmental laws are followed. And the only reason we nationalize the weapons industry is to kill it, to strangle it, to murder it, to end it. I get a lot of emails from people that use the kind of language that I can't use on this program. You know, you effing SOB, you filthy piece of human S-A-T. You know, if you don't like capitalism, why don't you go to Cuba? They're so stupid. These people are so stupid as their lives are being sucked out of them and their children and their grandchildren, as everything they thought was sacrosanct in this country is being absolutely chopped into mincemeat by capitalism as it exists in this country today. They still insist with their stupid-ass tea bags and their stupid-ass misspelled signs that socialism is the evil. My God. Socialism is afoot across the land. You morons. You complete idiots. You dumbasses. No, it isn't. If it were, we would not be in this situation. Oh, Jesus. Why bother? Oh, man. Oh, here's the quote. Yeah, I'll do it when we come back from Malcolm X. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies, tell me lies. Oh, no, no, you can't disguise. You can't disguise. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
It's 25 before the hour. Michael sent me the Malcolm X quote here. Essentially, it is, show me a capitalist, and I'll show you a bloodsucker. Here's the full quote from Malcolm X. It is impossible for capitalism to survive, primarily because the system of capitalism needs some blood to suck. Capitalism used to be like an eagle, but now it's more like a vulture. It used to be strong enough to go and suck anybody's blood, whether they were strong or not. But now it's become more cowardly, like the vulture, and it can only suck the blood of the helpless. As the nations of the world free themselves, the capitalism has less victims, less to suck, and it becomes weaker and weaker. It's only a matter of time, in my opinion, before it will collapse completely. It's something that used to make me stop and think about the possibilities of what this country would have been like had it been founded truly on the principles of justice and equality. In the first place, we would have begged for permission from the people who were already here to share their land with them. But we, like the Israelis, where it concerns Palestine, we, where it concerned the New World, we figured we had divine rights not granted to people who are already here. But had this country started out on principles of real justice and honor, had there been no genocide, had there been no slavery, and had the system, the economic system, maintained more or less the Jeffersonian model until this country became populated to the extent that the Jeffersonian model of the small farmer and the yeoman kind of idea could no longer apply unless everybody wanted to remain in the 18th century or the 17th century, which obviously we didn't, but a form of democratic socialism then would have been the natural evolution, except for the fact that we were founded in slavery and genocide, and we were founded in the ideas of predatory capitalism. That's precisely what slavery was about. Slavery was not so much about punishing an inferior race in the minds of these people, although the white people, although blacks or Africans were seen as an inferior race, but the primary reason for slavery was because it works so well in a capitalist system. If you can destroy your labor cost, if there is no labor cost, you can build enormous personal fortune. You really can. Because in the 18th century, all you had to worry about then, if you had no labor costs, was the vagaries of the weather, or the chance that maybe a flood would happen and wipe you out, or maybe you would get typhoid, or some disease would get you. But as far as the economic system, as long as you had free labor, oh my God, and an unlimited supply. Now, granted, the white plantation owners had to buy the slaves, but once you made that initial investment, well, you know, you could breed them. So if this country would have been founded on real principles of justice and honor and truth and decency and fairness, I used to play this head game with myself, thinking, where would we be by now, 230-some years into our existence? My God, it could have been some sort of imaginary utopia. But that's not what we chose to do. We chose to butcher and murder the people who were here, and we chose to import other people as chattel, as slaves, as property, and our Supreme Court backed that up and said, no, property is property, sorry. They may look like human beings, but they're not. Not as long as they're property. They can't be both. But capitalism now is at the point where, and I don't know why we all just can't look out our windows and see this, for God's sake. It is eating everything alive. It's like Stephen King's Langoliers. It's just devouring everything in its path. Everything. And it's run by a smaller and smaller cadre. Oh, the league of billionaires keeps getting bigger, but the ownership, the manipulation, the manipulator class is it's being reduced to fewer and fewer hands running this global economy, this global suck of resources and human lives and capitalism. And apparently the only way out of this, apparently is, the destruction of the planet brought about by the further exploitation. You know, capitalism is what is it caused global warming. You disagree? Of course you do. You're a teabagger. You can find your ass with both hands in broad daylight, you dumb freak. But I mean, reasonably normal people, is there an argument? Can anyone argue with that? What was the Industrial Revolution? When did this start? This pollution and destruction of the environment. When did it start? Huh? Take a look at London in the mid-19th century when people were dropping like flies because there was no air to breathe. There was something, there was a suspension over London, but it wasn't air. And what was that about? Was that about cook stoves or was that about the use of so-called soft coal by all the industries that were popping up, all the little nest of predatory capitalism that were beginning and expanding. And what about the Holocaust? What was that brought about by? Was that brought about by hatred of the Jews? That's what it was on the surface. But who funded Nazism? You know, who made sure that the death camps could run as efficiently as possible? Was that socialism that did that? Was that agrarian reform that did that? What was it that did that? It was one of the rawest forms of predatory capitalism, which is fascism. And we are there. And this is a part that would drive me to drink if I drank, which I don't. But why don't we all, in a blinding Jungian moment of collective consciousness, why don't we realize this and make it stop? I mean, the dumb people are not going to make it stop. The trolls, the Beck followers, the Beck suckers, and the Obama cadre of Goldman Sachs people and the Rush Limbaugh eaters and you know, those kinds of people are not, you know, but I'm not talking about them. You know, they're kind of lost, aren't they? I mean, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how many countries sink beneath the rising coastal tides, no matter how many people die in mines and oil explosions, no matter how much pollution, no matter how many families and economies are tanked because of predatory capitalism, it just keeps going. The reason I don't think about it anymore, it led me to one inescapable conclusion. We're getting exactly what we deserve. If we don't have the goddamn sense to call the fire department while the house is on fire, well, then it'll burn down. I don't get it. I just don't understand why we don't do something. It's happening right in front of our eyes. And then you have this hearing today, where four or five or six or seven of the most visible predatory monsters in the history of the human race sit there and just give the finger over and over and over again to so-called representatives of the people who are mostly bought and sold by the same people who are sitting there giving them the finger. It really is madness. And this is why I stay pissed off all the time. And then you have the protectors of the system, people like Glenn Beck, who eventually will probably kill himself. But before he does, he will cause so much damage. It's kind of like Jim Jones, will cause so much damage. And then you have Rush Limbaugh, who eventually will eat himself into a coma and die. But before he does, he will cause so much damage. Then you have Sean Hannity, who eventually will hang himself in his puppet strings. But before he does, he'll cause so much damage. Why? Why? You know.
Defining anger management. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Mike is in Chicago listening online. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Good. I get off topic from what I was intended on calling on real quick.
Okay, sure.
Your caller earlier that had you defined to a T, who hasn't been listening to you since Chicago or IE America or anybody like that. Mike, you're a big sellout.
Yeah, really. Absolutely.
The main reason why I called, I was, it was kind of funny watching the hearing today and seeing, John Ensign in that total role model of ethics from Nevada.
Is he still, he's still operating? He still sits on committees and asks questions of people?
Yeah, and he was, kind of giving it to the Goldman Sachs guys and talking about their lack of ethics.
Yeah, right. You know what I think of John Ensign, right?
Well,
I can't say
he's a Republican. So.
Right, I can't say it on the air, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what to make out of it today. You know, so yeah, some of it's good. I don't know. Will it get enough play on the media? Can the Democrats work this to their advantage? I don't know. It doesn't seem like they ever take any political advantage.
This I'll tell you what will happen in these hearings. The same thing happened with the Iran-Contra hearings, 20 years ago. Nothing. Or 25 years ago, the information is out there. The American public, how many people in America have C-SPAN 3, Mike?
I have a satellite dish.
Right. And how many people knew that the coverage is going to be on CNBC? I'm in this business and I had no idea until somebody emailed me tonight and told me. I think it was Reg. Look, if it doesn't happen on television, first of all, it doesn't happen. It never happened at all.
Well, right. I think MSNBC or whoever you just said probably didn't know until the last minute, unless there was a big earthquake or a hurricane or something else they could, smear over it. But it was a slow news day, so
yeah. Well,
they
nothing.
They put it on.
I don't think anything will happen. I think they will write some legislation. They being the Democrats, they'll write some legislation that will get somehow make its way through the Senate and the House, and Obama will sign it. It will be as effective to cleaning up Wall Street as the recently signed into law health insurance reform will be in providing health insurance for everyone in this country on the basis that we should be provided with it, which would be single payer. In other words, both are kind of a farce wrapped up in a hoax. Each one might do a little bit, a tiny bit of good if they were followed through on, maybe, but it won't be followed through on. As a matter of fact, the next Republican president will do everything that he or she can to completely dismantle everything that Obama has put into effect with his Democrat-controlled legislature.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens with. I'm still kind of holding out hope in the midterms and seeing if a president that starts off with his control of the Congress and the Senate can hold on to it after his.
I hold out the hope too that more Republicans will be defeated and have their asses kicked out of Washington. And that more Democrats will make it into the House and the Senate. But that's only because, to me, Republicans are filth. And I don't like filth running my country. But given a choice, given a choice between Democrats and filth, I'll take the Democrats every time. Given a choice between Democrats and people who can run the country properly, I'll take people who can run the country properly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. I know you feel the same way. You know.
Yeah, and the other problem you have in this country is people like the guy who called you earlier that, you know, he knows everything but doesn't know crap.
Right.
And you run into these people all the time, and you walk away and you shake your head. You can't believe how dumb people are.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're the suckers, so. You know.
I hear you. All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, Mike. Have a good night.
All right. Take care. Kathy, I just got an email here. This is like the fifth person who's written to me. This is from Fogman, who wishes you luck on Thursday with your procedure. But he says, P.S., one tiny question from your website. Now, this is the fourth or fifth person who's written this. And he quotes on the website, Mike can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time on affiliates from coast to coast, border to border, across the fruited plain. But you had spelled plain, P-L-A-N-E, like airplane.
Who are you saying we? You wrote that copy.
I did not write
that.
I didn't write that. So you
did. Besides, I mean, it might be a very particularly banana-flavored 747. You never know.
Okay.
I didn't write it.
Would you do me a favor?
I'm not even sure I can edit it.
During the break at the top of the hour, would you change plane to plane? Oh. Gotta have some tight-ass viewers or listeners or whatever. No, but y'all are right. It shouldn't be that way. I hate little tiny mistakes like that. It's like a splinter in the bottom of your foot. You know, you're not going to die of it. Well, you could, but it'll just drive you crazy. Across the fruited plain, P-L-E-I-N. I did that? You didn't do it? Has somebody else been running our website? Did George do it? I bet George did. Let's blame it on George, our webmaster. Huh? I don't know. I don't know what page it's on, but you'll find it. Maybe on the affiliates page or something. All right, we have a break coming up here. I'm sorry. I'm talking about stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with anything except the personal travails of this 25-cent program. Stick around. Your phone calls when we come back, and I've got a couple other things I want to drop into the mix here. So stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Back to your phone calls in a moment here. Nora sent an email here. Hi, Mike. The ancient Roman patrician slavers would free their old slaves once those poor folk were no longer strong enough to do their master's bidding quick enough. As the baby boomers flood into their expected retirement years, it appears the current capitalist slavers have the same idea. They've taken away the job market and collapsed the economy, and in a way, we've been freed again to the point that we will beg for any job they'll toss us. Thanks for talking truth about capitalism. Unfortunately, so many Americans erroneously believe capitalism equals democracy and may never get it that one can have a democracy without a capitalist economy. Nora. Yeah, regarding what we were talking about before the break, if you are just tuning in. All right, I want to do a prayer to our economic affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, who uses the nom de plume, Prairie 2, living by the camper-slash-bear rule. The stock markets worldwide took a 2% drop today on news that Standard & Poor's became the first bond rating agency to downgrade Greece's debt to junk status. They are suggesting that investors could expect to get back only 30 cents on the dollar they invested. They also downgraded Portugal's bonds, and there are rumors that Spain is next, despite the fact that those two are in good shape by comparison to Greece. The supposition is that Greece will take down several large European banks if they default. Germany is waffling on any sort of bailout for political reasons, and this is supposedly spooking the bond rating agencies. Greece is crying foul on their downgrade as no decisions have been announced. You should realize that these are the same ratings agencies that told European investors that the CDOs, the collateralized debt obligations Wall Street was selling, were AAA rated, like U.S. Treasuries, when they knew full well they were nearly worthless. Junk bond status puts huge pressure not only on Greece to accept onerous terms from the International Monetary Fund, reducing Greece to corporate serfdom, but is driving all the world markets. The U.S. dollar is up sharply against the euro, and there are people on Wall Street making money from this. Back in the U.S., there was a brisk business in U.S. treasuries driving down interest rates as investors apply the camper-bear rule, which is the camper doesn't need to outrun the bear. He just needs to outrun the other campers. Foreign investors are betting on the U.S. as the fastest camper, but that by no means should be taken as a hopeful outlook on the U.S.'s chances. There are a lot of bears in the woods. The Republicans voted again today to block debate on the financial reform. They refused to allow public debate where they could present amendments, but insist loudly that the Democrats are somehow playing dirty by not making a deal behind closed doors. This is, of course, the opposite of what they are constantly saying about how legislation should be done. The flip-flop isn't just a delaying tactic. They know a bill is inevitable, and they want to claim in November that they wrote it. Public debate and amendments would make that claim impossible and would reveal every attempt they made to weaken it. They will follow their long tradition of claiming that they were looking out for the voter, as they were really doing Wall Street's bidding. Don't look back. The bear is gaining. PrairieNumeral2.com. This is from Peter. Mike, the hearings with the bankers today, as much as I was able to hear on the local sports radio station, got me thinking. The bumper you play, titled Good News Week, was put down, I think, by the hedgehogs. Maybe this name could be a description of the Goldman et al. Sociopaths, hedging and hogging as they continue to do. As for when the people, quote, quote, will hit the streets in protest of anything, Consider the Mike Vick protests and deep angst in your area, Atlanta. While at the same time, the Chinese were killing, via poisoned food, far more pets than the quarterback ever could. Anyone picketing Walmart? Anyone awarded damages? Peter. I like emails that have a certain element of cryptic comment attached. You know what I'm saying? And then this, and then we'll move on here. Earlier this month, Virginia Governor Bob McDonald, the Republican, the guy that graduated from Regent University, the one run by Pat Robertson, he signed legislation allowing concealed carry permit holders to bring loaded handguns into establishments that serve alcohol. The law allows permit holders to carry guns in restaurants, quote, as long as the holders do not consume alcohol, end quote. Well, a leading Virginia gun lobby is now arguing that that law unfairly stigmatizes gun carriers as second-class citizens because there is an exception that allows law enforcement officers and Commonwealth's attorneys to carry concealed weapons and consume alcohol. Philip Van Cleve, leader of the Virginia Citizens Defense League, complained, "We're not allowed to drink, but the law enforcement officials can. That's two classes of citizens." End quote. But this bright, burning genius, Philip Van Cleve, has a solution. Van Cleve said one proposed bill would allow no one but an off-duty officer doing an undercover work to drink alcohol while carrying a concealed weapon. The other bill will say that anyone can carry a concealed gun and drink if they wish, as long as they're not drunk. The bright, shining genius Philip Van Cleve, leader of the Virginia Citizens Defense League, said, quote,
"Whatever the General Assembly assumes will apply to everyone.
Police officers and permit holders are all in the same tent. So I say, General Assembly, you choose. But whatever it is, we're equal." In a letter to the governor on behalf of the state's police chiefs, Virginia Beach Police Chief Jake Jaycox Jr. opposed the new law, arguing, quote, "Well, we can fully expect that at some point in the future, a disagreement that today would likely end up in a verbal confrontation or a bar fight will inevitably end up with gunfire if you sign this legislation into law," end quote. The chances of that happening would only increase if the Virginia gun lobby has its way. I mean, it's see what I'm talking about? This is, I mean... There is no rational reason, no logical reason, no reason that's based in anything positive that would say there should be no laws in the books regarding alcohol and guns. If you won't carry your weapon into a bar and have a drink, you should be able to do that. Because you know what? You might be sitting there having a beer and a Negro would walk in. And he would not have papers, even though you may stand up as a law-abiding American citizen and demand to see them papers. Or a Mexican person might come in with the Negro. Then what are you going to do? Because if the Negro is the law enforcement officer and the Mexican person is a drug dealer, well, then both of them will have guns. What will you do then?
What's the weather like today? This good news week.
Get your news unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
It's about 22 past the hour. Gene Robinson, writing in today's Washington Post op-ed page, refers to Arizona's new immigration law as an abomination. It is racist, arbitrary, oppressive, mean-spirited, unjust. About the only thing that can be said is that the legislation, which Republican Governor Jan Brewer signed Friday, the legislation goes so outrageously far that it may well be unconstitutional. Governor Brewer, who caved to xenophobic pressures that previous governors had the backbone to resist, should be ashamed of herself. The law requires police to question anyone they, quote, reasonably suspect, end quote, of being an undocumented immigrant. A mandate for racial profiling on a massive scale. Legal immigrants will be required to carry papers proving they have a right to be in the United States. Those without documentation can be charged with the crime of trespassing and jailed for up to 6 months. Activists for Latino and immigrant rights and supporters of sane governance held weekend rallies denouncing the new law and vowing to do everything they can to overturn it. But where was the Tea Party crowd? Isn't the whole premise of the Tea Party movement that overreaching government poses a grave threat to individual freedom? It seems to me that a law allowing individuals to be detained and interrogated on a whim and requiring legal residents to carry identification documents, as in a police state, would send the Tea Partiers into apoplexy. Or is there some kind of exception if the people whose freedoms are being taken away happen to have brown skin and might speak Spanish? He goes on. The Tea Party is nothing but a collection of racist bastards. Racist bastards. That's all they are. That's their organizing principle. Racism and a sick form of religiosity that Glenn Beck, the man who eventually will commit suicide, likes to pound down the throats of his guppies. Mike, I just wanted to bring a few things about the Arizona law. A friend from the UK just canceled her trip to Arizona. It was a little plan of hers to go to every state in the U.S. In the summer, she was going to Arizona, Colorado, and Alaska. Now she'll not go anywhere near Arizona. She asked me, what's to stop a cop from harassing her because of her British accent? Yes, she's blonde hair, blue eyes, but she does have an accent. What's to keep a police officer from giving her trouble because he doesn't like her walk or doesn't like her copy of The Nation? Yes, of course, we know who is really meant to cause problems, but how easily now will it be for someone to harass another person just for an Obama sticker on the car or even wearing a coexist T-shirt? Second, my husband brought this up. Wonder if a person has a right to ask a police person to produce their papers. If I understand my reading of the law, please correct me if I'm wrong, everyone needs to have this proof of citizenship. Yeah, I know. Demand those papers from the cops and you'd see the inside of a jail, but it would be interesting to watch. Jen. Yeah, what's going to happen? You know, it's really going to be kind of weird. And there are all sorts of variations and permutations of this. But say an off-duty Hispanic police officer from Scottsdale drives down the street in Phoenix. And let's say he's got some music on that isn't exactly Chicago Symphony. And he's got the volume cranked up and he's driving along. You know, he's got his arm up on the side and hand on the steering wheel. This is a cop. from Scottsdale, Arizona. And a couple of Bohunk, Phoenix police officers see that. They don't know who this guy is. And they pull him over. And the Hispanic cop who just got pulled over thinks, I'll be son of a bitch. They got me? I'm a police officer. And let's just supposing the Bohunks come up to the Hispanic and get a little bit wordy with him. What do you think might happen there? What has happened to Arizona? What has happened to the state of Arizona? My God. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Michael writes, immigration bill, Greg Pallas, thinks it's just another effort at vote suppression, given that the bill's author made mention of, quote, all the illegals voting, end quote. Pallas has got a point. Arizona's been doing it for a very, very long time, voter suppression. We should not forget that a certain Chief Justice Rehnquist made his Republican bones chasing blacks and Hispanics from polling places in the early 60s. Yeah, so I guess it's not a recent breakdown with Arizona. Arizona has always been Arizona, right? Stephen is in Burbank, holding on forever. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
It was great hearing from Marge last night. Absolutely great.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
But getting to the point, it was these guys remind me of my little brother. He was allowed to have a credit card. He qualified. He got the credit card, and the way to get quick cash right now was the buddies at a, what do you want? You know, mm-hmm. and you go in and charge like a couch at a furniture store for $250, $50, you know, whole kitchen sets, you know, go to the electronics store, the department
right.
store.
Right.
And so it looks like the way things are going, these guys, with the financial reform, not only are they going to get to keep that credit card, but it's going to be unlimited and they won't have to pay it back.
There you go.
But at least in this case, you know, after I moved to Burbank, you know, the feds in the form of United States Marshals were knocking at the door, you know, where is he? And I would tell him the truth, you know. Last I heard 3 months ago, he was in Idaho. And so things continue, you know. And a little caveat about campaign reform.
Yeah.
You know, get the money out of politics. Well, Nora said it, you know, and I had it in my mind to try and say it, and she stole my thunder. But the way I see it is capitalism hates democracy. And there's another little thing that I could add to that to take away from the analogies, you know, the old cliches and mm-hmm. you know, the metaphors. I saw a thing in the National Lampoon magazine a couple of years ago. And because I don't want to offend, you know, it's a little bit risque. I don't want to offend some of the more genteel members of the audience. So I'll try to send it to you in an email tomorrow.
Okay.
That's all right with you, Bob.
That sounds good.
All right. Okay.
All right, Stephen. Thanks, man.
That's my rant.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, he's right. You know, think about the the history of U.S. international relations since you know, since the turn of the 19th into the 20th century. Excuse me. You know, going back to the Spanish-American War, from that point forward, when we began to get entangled in the affairs of other countries, in spite of the advice by, was it Madison? Who was it that said, you know, don't do that? But if you look at who, the what sort of government the United States not only backs, but tries to install in various countries for the sake of predatory capitalism, it's always dictators. But they have to be right-wing dictators. If they're left-wing dictators, there's too much, excuse me, too much leftism there, too much possibility that a left-wing dictator would get all agrarian reformer on us and decide to nationalize all of our hard-won business ventures in these various countries. Every time that happens, oh, it just, you know, that's what happened. That's what was going to happen with Salvador Allende in Chile. And Kissinger and Nixon put a stop to that. Man, didn't they, huh? They killed the son of a bitch and took out a whole bunch of people with them. And then installed a right-wing, fascist, dictating regime that Kissinger and the boys could do business with. This is what we always do. We always do this. And we always lose. But if you think capitalism likes democracy, you're an ignorant fool. Capitalism wants a military dictatorship as close to fascism as humanly possible to do business with. Democracy is too, you know, the predators, the capitalists can't work with that because you never know. In democracy, you know, the liberals might get control of the legislative branch and then get all regulatory on their asses, you know. So they don't like that. No, we don't want regulation. Ooh, pew, regulations. The United States does business almost exclusively with dictators. That's just what we do. Because we're capitalist. Because we're capitalist. That's why. You know, we're not going to do business with Fidel Castro. Hell no. He ain't no capitalist. We back dictators. We install them. If it looks like a non-dictator is going to prevail in a so-called free election, we assist the dictator who's being run out of office in screaming, oh, the election was stolen! Oh, the election was stolen! Oh, my God! As has happened in Afghanistan and Iraq, two places where we have spent an awful lot of blood and treasure in order to make sure that our capitalist interests are satisfied. Right? Now they're declaring that al-Maliki really was the winner of that election, so-called, in Iraq a couple of weeks ago. Huh? That's the way it works. And in Iran, back in the 50s, they had a democratically elected leader. Oh, no, 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 no. We threw him out. Guatemala, they had a democratically elected leader. Oh, no! It just goes on and on. How many examples do you want? You teabaggers don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Go back to watch. Go watch Glenn Beck. Get the hell out of my airspace, will you? Freaks. Dennis is in San Francisco listening on Green 960.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Dennis.
I've been in the financial business for 30 years, and the deregulation that started in the 80s got the ball rolling for the what I call the capitalist pigs, which is a throwback to the 60s. But I'm a capitalist. I got a business. But, you know, the capitalist pigs want no regulations, right? They want no rules.
Nothing.
They want anarchy. And imagine if you had your highways without traffic laws, you know, imagine what would happen then.
Sure.
The attempt by Obama and the Democrats to roll back some of this deregulation is the last gasp. It really is. I think they just did, and I know this stuff from the inside, and I know what I'm talking about. They just raped the economy, the real economy, the productive economy, Main Street, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And if we don't roll back this greed, unbridled greed, this time, we're finished.
Well, even if we, I mean, how would, I'm not trying to challenge you, I'm looking for information here. How do you roll back unbridled greed?
With fair rules that are enforced.
But, yeah, I mean, I understand that, and that makes perfect sense to me. Fair rules that are enforced, but if there was to be such a system, why has that system not prevailed even yet?
Well, because God bless him, Clinton signed off on Glass-Steagall repeal,
right?
And then what was left, the Bush people simply looked at, I guess they looked at porno sites all the time, right, on the internet instead of enforcing the laws.
That's sounds like that's what they did. But
yeah.
aside from non-regulation, right? Yeah, aside from Bush and Clinton, I agree with you. Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush.
In the SNLs, you know.
Right.
And that was a $350 billion cost to the taxpayers.
But we have been warned about this since Jefferson, since Madison, since Abraham Lincoln. These were presidents who specifically and clearly warned about the dangers of corporatism. That's not the term they use, but the power being concentrated in the hands of corporations. Eisenhower warned about it, although he was addressing specifically the military-industrial corporations. But my question, you know, what can be done about it? What can stop it? How, we can't rely on members of Congress to do what? To pass laws? Congress is a wholly owned subsidiary now of corporate America.
That's correct, yeah.
So the only way to do it, I think, in a nonviolent way, is for everybody to just stop participating until the machine collapses. And then you rebuild, but you rebuild in a more just way. I know that sounds vague and kind of leftish, but I mean, short of just blowing the whole damn country up, which I'm not advocating, and I hate to even think about it. That's what the teabaggers and Glenn Beck are advocating. But short of doing that, what's the best way to replace this system? And that is if everybody stopped participating, just stopped. Thanks, Dennis. Is in Eureka, California, listening to KGOE. Hey, Rich.
Good evening, Mike.
Hi.
I hope I can carry this conversation on. I have a bad cold, and so I don't want to get into a coughing jag. But
well, I've had one going all night.
And I don't want to get into a long diatribe, but I'm an Indian from an Indian reservation, and I kind of want to address this Arizona thing going on. I wonder how they'd like it if we turned the tables on them and ordered our tribal police to watch out for Arizona plates coming across our borders, because we are nations within this nation.
Right.
We're not subject to states.
Right.
And then pull them over, and then decide after pulling them over, I mean, if there are dark people in there, we might just ask them how long they're staying or how long they're passing through or whatever. But if there's whites, then we're definitely going to want to know if they have a tribal ID. Mm-hmm. Not an American citizen paper, but tribal ID.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, I think we should throw them in our jails and charge them $2,500 to be exported back to their state of Arizona.
Sounds good to me, but, you know, who am I?
I know. I know it's not going to work, but
right.
I think they should think about it.
Yeah, but your point is well taken. I don't quite understand what the governor of Arizona thought she was accomplishing. According to Greg Palast, writing at Truthout, what they're trying to do is suppress the legal Hispanic vote in Arizona. There's like 100,000 voters that were thrown off the rolls, legal voters that were thrown off the rolls when this woman, Jan Brewer, who's now the governor, when she was Secretary of State a couple of years ago. So what the attempt seems to be is, you know, yes, it's racist and it's insane, but it's also an attempt to suppress the Hispanic vote. Now, if that was their goal, obviously it's going to backfire, because who of Hispanic descent will vote for a Republican in the state of Arizona now that this this racist Nazi-like law has been passed? So I just don't understand here, unless it's just the further breaking up of what we call the United States of America into the Federation of American States, which I think we're on the road to seeing, and probably in our lifetime, Rich.
Well, I agree, and it's a sickening situation.
It is indeed.
I'll let you go for this evening. You have my show.
Thanks, Rich.
You bet.
All right, thanks for checking in. Ken is in San Pedro, California. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I call you every once in a while to remind you about why liberals don't have their own network. But that's a whole other topic. Anyway.
Well, you don't have to tell me. I used to work for the only liberal network in the history of radio broadcasting in America, and I watched it just slowly be devoured from mismanagement.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to throw out some nuances regarding this immigration law, and that is and regarding the Hispanic vote particularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to throw that I'm not saying I'm blaming the victim in all of this. I'm just kind of facetiously saying that there is silver lining in this, and that is that the Hispanic community is somewhat being united in this and unified in this and becoming active, which is exactly what needs to happen. They need to be active, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if, as a result of the backlash from this sort of thing, this thing creates backlash. Although I realize there might be some bloodshed, which is horrible. But getting to the Hispanic vote, you know, there is a percentage of them that voted right wing, you know, and a lot of that's being fueled by their bishops.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah,
who
sure.
are telling them to vote right wing because they're against abortion.
Yeah, it all comes back to single issue voting, and you're absolutely right. How people of Hispanic descent are going to handle now, on the one hand, the political machine in Arizona declaring them to be the same as Jews in Germany who were forced to wear a yellow Star of David. On the other hand, you have their religious leaders who, when they are not raping their children,
right,
are now telling them that they must vote for the Republican because he or she is anti-abortion. Down that path lies schizophrenia, you know, by the busload, it would seem to me. So I hope maybe Hispanics can see how crazy the state is, but also how crazy the church is. Remember,
right.
Remember that maxim by Denis Diderot, who said mankind will never be free until the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest.
And, yeah, exactly. And also, there will not be wars until there's as long as there's young men willing to fight them. And I think this is the travesty that there's a huge percentage of Hispanics in the military fighting for a country that's treating them with such injustice now.
Yeah, because it's a path to A, citizenship, B...
Which is horrendous to have someone fight for a country that they don't even realize this treaty is going to treat them unjustly.
I've known several black civil rights icons here in the South by virtue of the fact that I live here who... who fought in World War II against fascism when they came back to this country from their the point where they disembarked to their homes, they had to ride in the backs of Greyhound buses because they were dark-skinned, and how that affected them. So, this is nothing new, that's for sure. Thanks, Ken. I appreciate you checking in. Didn't mean to cough in your ear there. Yeah, I'm still dealing with the bronchitis brought about by the allergies. What can I say? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
My worst day ever?